I forgot to cue myself into the actual show. Fell asleep at the wheel. Hey there, everyone. It's Denise. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is October 4th, and we are here to chat WWE NXT No Longer 2.0. And it is officially official, even though it was technically official already. But the point is, 2.0 is gone, and we are on to a brand new era. And by a brand new era, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, we're back to the NXT black and gold per se. We did technically get rid of the colorful colors and, you know, the branding that NXT 2.0 had. But for the most part, the show is still pretty much exactly the same, which was what I was thinking or what I said on the show prior to, the second the announcement was made that we were going to essentially be going back to this NXT black and gold era. So we got the black and gold and white colors now all, you know, meshing together. They're everywhere on the presentation in terms of the stage. The actual stage and setup of the CWC is still pretty much exactly the same. But obviously the things that changed are like the apron and the colors. And, you know, everything now matches that black, white, and gold logo scheme that was presented to us. So besides that technically being the big change, the show itself is still pretty much the same. So that's why, like, when a lot of us got initially excited that, like, oh my God, the black and gold era of NXT is coming back, it's technically not fully back the way that you might think that it would be. We're still pretty much getting a lot of the same things. And to be honest, that's pretty much what was expected. That was the most realistic option for NXT. We were still going to get NXT 2.0 just with the original color. So to be honest, aside from the colors, not much has changed, which for me is a little bit of a bummer, because while there are things on the show that I enjoy on a weekly basis, usually like the main events tend to be really great. There's some key players that, you know, are always going to go out there and put on pretty good matches. For the most part, I do still feel like NXT still needs a lot of work. And by that, I mean, there were a couple of items today that I just kind of really felt disconnected from. But then there were other things where I was like, okay, you know, we're working towards other stuff. But before we get into all of that here today, I just want to let you guys know, if you are new to the show here, thank you guys so much for joining me. I am live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Tuesdays here for NXT, of course, Wednesdays for AEW Dynamite, and then Fridays for SmackDown and Rampage. I will be here those 3 days this week as well. So there's going to be so much wrestling to talk about, especially this week, given that we got Extreme Rules, we got Bound for Glory, we got Battle of the Belts. There's just so much wrestling to consume this week on top of what's already out there. It's going to be kind of a busy week. But let's go ahead and see what you guys are saying, guys. Go ahead and send in your thoughts, send in your comments, see how you guys felt about this new era of NXT 2.0. God damn it, it's gonna be so hard not to say 2.0. It's killing me, guys. I'm probably gonna say 2.0 like 100 times, because I've been so used to saying it now for months, and now it's like, God damn it. Okay, sorry, everybody, but it drives me nuts that I'm still saying 2.0. But let's see what you guys are saying. Also, if you want to help support this show, send in your thoughts, your opinions, your rants, whatever it is, you are more than welcome to support this show by sending in a super chat. I will make sure to read your comments. And then on top of that, it really does help me out on today's show. Oh my God, everybody. I got so many different thoughts going on right now, but let's see what people are saying about this show. We got Mahmed, who says he was a little bit disappointed by the show. We got Ed Jones, who says this is actually like NXT season 10. I mean, I think at this point, we're better off going on in terms of like describing NXT in terms of seasons, because we got all of these different versions of NXT, and we're all calling them different things for, you know, the black and gold. You got the one before that. You got the Fruity Pebbles version. Now we're back to the black, white, and gold. I mean, it's just a lot of, all the color schemes are getting a little bit confusing now. But let's see what else we got here. This is from Christopher Smith, who says he liked NXT, including with the Brawling Brutes, Carmella Hayes, and Toxic Attraction, all having good matches here today. And let's see what else we got. This is from Christopher, who says, I never thought the black and gold would return, but I did think in time things will get better. That's kind of what I'm hopeful for, to be honest. I'm really hopeful that we're going to get a little bit better quality in-ring stuff and characters that you actually care for and want to see what happens to them on a weekly basis. Because, you know, so many of the ways that you get people involved or interested in pro wrestling or, you know, watching a weekly product is making those people, care about somebody and their journey on the programming. And realistically, right now, if you were to say, hey, Denise, name like one person that each and every single week you're like, oh my God, you can't wait to see what this person is going to do consistently every week. I don't even think I have somebody that I would give to you like a name. Like, obviously I have a couple of people that I'm like, yeah, you know, I like and I enjoy seeing them. But in terms of if I wasn't covering the show, would I come back every single week to tune into NXT 2.0? No, because they don't have that person for me, at least, that keeps me thinking, okay, I want to come back because I want to see what's going to go on with X person and, you know, X and Y, whatever. I do think that they need more of that. They need more characters that that the people that we can latch on to, more people that we actually want to see their journey on NXT. We got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson. Thank you so much to Sheldon for kicking us off, saying pretty deadly tonight was hard to watch. Their opening promo wasn't good and the match ending was bad. I feel like the Brawling Brutes carried them. So let's get right into that. So let's talk about Pretty Deadly and then we'll go in and talk about the rest of the stuff that occurred on today's show. So Pretty Deadly, like Sheldon Jackson said here today, it was kind of a little bit of a rough start. So here we go. So they kicked off, you know, NXT with Wade Barrett, and he had two additional co-hosts today filling in for Vic Joseph because, you know, he got married in Italy, and so apparently he was stuck and couldn't make it back in time for the show and whatnot. So, okay, fine, whatever. That's perfectly fine. But they're announcing, you know, these changes and how, you know, NXT basically, like, we're still the same NXT that loves and respects their fans and all of that stuff that they normally say on a week-to-week basis, but they're pretty much promoting, like, oh my God, this is going to be, like, an exciting new show and this and that, and we get started with the Pretty Deadly segment, and it kind of basically, how do I explain it? It doesn't necessarily give you the best of hopes in terms of like, yeah, here we go. You know, we're about to get really serious. It goes more into like the goofy comedy stuff. Now, just because it's goofy comedy doesn't mean that it's not, you know, goofy comedy stuff can be entertaining. This, unfortunately, wasn't. And I love Pretty Deadly. I've been a big fan of them since they came into this new, you know, picture of NXT. I've been enjoying their work on NXT 2.0. I've been enjoying them the second they became champions. I was a big fan of their stuff there. I've been loving all of their little vignettes. Everything that they've been doing with Pretty Deadly, for the most part, has definitely been working for me. The one thing that was definitely a miss today was that opening segment. So they essentially, they came out and they're dressed in those red coats from like, from British colonial times. I can't wait to hear what the Wrestle Talk guys are going to say about this. And to be honest, they're going out there and they're doing this State of the Commonwealth address, and they got their, you know, little, they're doing this judging thing, and they got their, God damn it, their little thing. What do you call those things? Those little things that the judges use. I'm blanking on the names right now. But they got that and they're doing like this whole big address right to the fans. And the gist of this is basically they have faced every team that there is to face and they're at the top of the NXT division. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the purpose of this, right? At this point, I'm thinking, what's the purpose of this right now? And I'm thinking they're going to make some like big announcement, and they basically decree that they should hold the NXT championship belts forever. And it's supposed to be funny. This was supposed to be funny, but it wasn't. It took too long to get to what was eventually the entertaining part, which I will get to. But the speaking portion just took a long, long time here. And thank you to everybody, the gavel. I love how everybody said he did it. The gavel. Thank you for everybody for reminding me what the hell that word was. Oh shit. Sheldon Jackson says Wrestle Talk doesn't do NXT review shows anymore. I forgot that they took that out. Oh man. Damn it. I really wanted to know what they thought about this whole thing, since that's, you know, clearly gonna fit their demo and whatnot. But anyway, so this, for the most part, was a huge miss because they come out there in these costumes and you're thinking, okay, if you're going to do this, let it be funny. But it wasn't funny. It just took way too long. And they said a bunch of words that weren't going anywhere. So eventually, this started to get entertaining because the Brawling Brutes came out. And if you have been tuning into my Friday post shows, you will know that the Brawling Brutes right now are literally my favorite thing on SmackDown, along with Imperium. Like, they have literally added so much to that show. Just those guys alone have added so much to that show. And as somebody who is like weekly tuning into Friday Night SmackDown, there was a lot that was needed on that show. So anyways, when the Brawling Brutes came out, it definitely got a little bit better, this segment. They interrupt pretty deadly, and they're pretty much pissed, and they're confronting them after some comments that they made about Sheamus on social media, right? So Pretty Deadly starts to claim that they were hacked and this and that, but obviously Ridge Holland and Butch are not buying that whatsoever. So they go right in on the attack to Pretty Deadly, and that's literally the first opening portion of NXT. So again, I don't know if this was necessarily the best. I was going to say, I don't know if this is necessarily the best way to introduce this new era of NXT. But then again, the rest of the show was pretty much the exact same thing we have been seeing for the NXT 2.0 period of the NXT evolution. All right, so we'll get to the main event in just a second because I want to talk about that towards the end. But we do got a super chat here from Steven who says, let's go, gavel. Thank you very much. Thank you for sending in the super chat. All right. So let's actually, I'm going to talk about the main event now since it's pretty much in line with all of the stuff that opened up the show. And there was a funny line. Thank you to Zeno Hour for bringing this up because Pretty Deadly, one of the people that they blamed for hacking them on Twitter was Kevin Nash. That part was funny. The part where they said that Kevin Nash was the one that hacked them. So, okay, haha. That was the funniest part of the whole thing, for sure. All right, but let's get into the main event and then we'll cover the rest of the show. So for the main event, we had Butch and Ridge Holland take on Pretty Deadly for the NXT tag team titles. Now, clearly, I was not expecting, like, here's my thinking process during this was, okay, we're going to get a really great match here. The Brawling Brutes are not going to win because, you know what, for the most part, Pretty Deadly is like the tag team right now in NXT. I think it would hurt them a lot more if Pretty Deadly were to lose this match and to lose the titles. So it made a lot of sense for them to, you know, keep the belts on Pretty Deadly. But then I thought, well, maybe they want to spice things up and really make things feel just a little bit different for this new era of NXT. So maybe, what if there is a small chance that the Brawling Brutes will go home with the NXT tag team titles? So I was kind of like 95% sure that Pretty Deadly were going to be retaining in this championship match. But 5% of me was like, you know what? Maybe they'll swerve us. Maybe they'll do something different just for the hell of it, right? Just for this new era of NXT that we're introducing. The match itself was perfectly fine, guys. Like, there was a lot of good moments. Was it the match that I was expecting between the Brawling Brutes and Pretty Deadly? Did it meet the quality of expectation? No, I wouldn't say that. But it was still a pretty decent main event. I think really the stuff that stood out to me was I just don't think, like, it was a good match, right? But it just wasn't a great match. That's where we're kind of at with that. All right, guys, please do not, also, if you're in the chat, do not spam the chat, because unfortunately I will have to put you in timeout. So sorry for having to put people in timeout, but no spamming the chat. All right, so back to the main event. The stuff that really stood out to me during this was legitimately just like Ridge Holland going in there and like hitting all of their shoulder tackles, followed by this really awesome clothesline that he hit. I really loved all of that. But to be honest, there wasn't much more that really stood out to me. There were several times where like Butch was, he bent the fingers of Kit Wilson. There was a couple of times where he was close to getting the win for his team. But obviously, Elton was making sure to break that up and make sure that that didn't happen. So good awareness there from Pretty Deadly. And then at one point, Pretty Deadly tries to get themselves DQ'd, because I kind of like that little part of them intentionally trying to get themselves DQ'd, because it was like they weren't expecting the Brawling Brutes to be as difficult to to defeat, right? So they were struggling a little bit to actually get the win. So I didn't mind that whatsoever. That was fine. There's a moment where Ridge Holland is finally going to get the win for the Brawling Brutes, but instead Imperium goes out there. They end up getting involved in this match, and this essentially allows Pretty Deadly to hit their finish, the Spilled Milk, and they end up getting the win and retaining their title. So was it really a great match? No, because there really weren't that many moments that stood out to me personally for this. I do think they could have gone a little longer and they could have done a lot more and then eventually get to the finish that they did end up doing. In terms of like the distraction finish, or, you know, having Imperium go in there for and basically cost the Brawling Brutes this match, did they have to go about it that way? No, not necessarily. I would have liked for them to just give a Pretty Deadly a pretty good win, because I think that they really need it right now on NXT, and it was definitely not going to hurt the Brawling Brutes whatsoever to take a clean a victory from the Pretty Deadly. So for me, I do think that the, you know, having Imperium come in there and essentially cost them the match didn't necessarily need to be needed. It wasn't needed, but it does make sense with a lot of the storylines that they're doing. So it's fine. I'll let it go. But I do think this match could have been just a little bit better. But either way, Pretty Deadly retains the championships as expected, or at least 95% of me expected. All right, let's go ahead and see what people are saying, guys. Send in your thoughts. How did you feel about this main event? How did you feel about the opening segment of NXT? Let's see what people are saying. This is from Scoucher Boy, who says, Ridge is not a good wrestler. Pete deserves better. You know what? Ridge Holland has some good moments. I wouldn't like put him up there on the same level as Pete Dunne, but I still think he has some pretty strong moments where like it doesn't feel to me like, I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel like he's taking away from the match. Like there's never been, I personally have never had a moment where I'm like, oh, Ridge Holland took away from this match. I've never felt that way about it. I think they complement each other pretty well. Obviously, to me, Pete Dunne is on another level, but I still think Ridge Holland complements him very nice. So I'm a fan of all of that stuff there. Justin Martin sends in a comment saying Pretty Deadly are an acquired taste. One I can't really acquire. They're acting like a really snooty British Billy and Chuck. Look, I like Pretty Deadly. I do. They just need better competition on a weekly basis, because when the show ended, they had Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen, Jesus Christ. They had them out there, and they had Idris and Malik. And while Idris and Malik, for the most part, are really like, they're pretty good tag team together. Like they're pretty entertaining. Like I've liked seeing them team up together. They've been pretty good. But in terms of like, for me to really go like, yes, like this tag team division right now is really, really hot, we need more teams there to kind of, you know, just fill things out, just to add a little bit more, because I don't really feel like the division is, like I'm not excited about either of these teams. I want to see Pretty Deadly go up against a team that I'm personally like really, really excited for. Like they had that with the Creed brothers. Like when they did that, that was exciting. Obviously, you know, the Creed brothers are kind of, you know, doing something else right now, but I just think that they need to add or make these teams feel a little bit more exciting, so that when they do go up against Pretty Deadly, you're freaking excited about it, you know? All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Let's see what else we had on the show. I'm going to go ahead and revert back to the top of the show. We had Carmelo Hayes versus Oro Mensa, and this was not a bad match whatsoever. This was a perfectly fine sprint of a match. It was pretty fast-paced for both these guys. It was very enjoyable to watch, mainly because obviously, Carmelo Hayes has been a big standout in NXT, this new era of NXT. We already know that. That's nothing new. Oro Mensa has really just, I think he's only been there now for like, what, 2-3 weeks or so. He's only been there for a couple of weeks on NXT. So we're really just starting to get familiar with Oro Mensa. And for the most part, I thought today was probably the best showcase we've gotten of his so far. I loved that moonsault that he did off the second rope. That was great. Carmelo ends up getting the win with the code breaker after his leg drop off the top, but regardless, Oromenza did show a lot of really good, he showed a lot of potential in this. Like, it was clear. I feel like them putting up putting Oromenza against Carmelo Hayes was kind of like a little bit of a test to see like how much he can go with a guy like Carmelo Hayes, especially because Carmelo Hayes is just a little bit more, you know, we've seen a lot more of Carmelo Hayes. He's a little bit more experienced in all of that. And he moves really damn fast. He's been very freaking enjoyable to watch. So I kind of feel like seeing him in this match with Carmelo Hayes was like a test of whether or not he can go in there and be in the ring with somebody like Carmelo Hayes. And he definitely showed that he can hang. So I feel like from what we saw today, it was a nice preview of the potential for Oromenza. So far right now, I'm kind of feeling a little bit excited about Oromenza. After this match. So good stuff for him, and a good win for Carmelo Hayes. He needed this win because the last couple of weeks since they stripped Carmelo Hayes, since they stripped the NXT title from him and gave it to Solo Sikoa and then took it away from Solo Sikoa and all of that nonsense, I really do feel like Carmelo Hayes could not have afforded to take an L here tonight, okay? Like, that was not the way to go. So I'm glad that they didn't do that for Carmelo Hayes. We need to get him back up there to like the level where he was at before. I'm still a little bit irritated that he's not holding the championship right now. But I'm not even going to get into that because I already complained about that last week. So I'm not going to get into that here again. But regardless, it was still a pretty decent match. One of the decent matches of the night, that's for sure. We got more people putting over this match against Carmelo Hayes and Oromenza. More people saying it's been good stuff here today. All right, let's see what we got. We got more people really putting over this match, saying it was a banger, saying that it ruled. And yeah, for the most part, I agree. It was not bad. I do agree with Zeno Hour here, who says he would have liked to see a longer match between these two. I think so too. I think they could have easily added a couple of minutes to this match, and it would have really been like a... Because like, okay, like, here's the thing. Like, Oromenza, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, this guy has potential. This was great. But I think had this match gone a little bit longer, this could have been like a real, it had an opportunity, I think, of being like, holy shit, Oromenza, he's going to be the next guy. But as of right now, because the match didn't really, I think the length did rob him a little bit of that. I think we would have been here raving about Oromenza maybe a little bit more had we gotten just a couple more minutes or, you know, a little bit more in this match. But still, nonetheless, good stuff all around, honestly. All right. And then obviously, you know, people bringing up Oromenza and NXT UK. I did not watch much of NXT UK. So I'm still like, there are some people that I'm like, okay, if people would say like, oh, go out of your way to watch this match on NXT UK, then okay, I would go out of my way, but it wasn't regular TV viewing for me. So let's see what else we got here today. This is from Joseph McLean with a prediction who says, I don't think he's going to win the title back. Think he's moving up to the NXT title. Here's the thing, like, obviously that depends on what the hell happens with Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh and Ilya Dragunov. I think that Carmelo Hayes could be like a great first challenger for, like, let's say they were to have Ilya or JD McDonagh win that match. Then hell yeah, that would be freaking awesome. Even if Bron Breakker were to win, actually. If Bron Breakker were to win and have Carmelo Hayes go up against Bron Breakker, that would be freaking awesome too. So I do like the idea of doing that with him. I would have loved it more if he would have never lost the title to Solo Sikoa and he would have remained NXT North American champion this entire time, gone into Halloween Havoc, and let's say he didn't retain his championship in that ladder match, then okay, fine, I can see him, you know, either way, like, had he retained or had he not retained in that ladder match at Halloween Havoc, I do think like that would have been a really good option for him. But given the fact that they didn't go about it that way and they kind of took away from Carmelo Hayes instead of keeping him like really, really strong, I think that did hurt Carmelo Hayes a lot, in my opinion, taking the title off of him. And for really no reason at all, because we all know what ended up happening with Solo Sikoa having to basically give the title back. And then right now we have no champion. So personally for me, I do think that they halted a little bit of that momentum that Carmelo Hayes had been building up until this point. So had he been like this whole time NXT North American champion, I would have felt a lot more confident about that. But then again, right now there isn't very many guys that could be in that NXT championship picture, and they're going to need challengers. So regardless, I do think we're going to find ourselves seeing Carmelo Hayes in that picture, because regardless, like, they need more people, they need more bodies for sure. Alrighty guys, so let's go ahead and continue on from here, and let's see what people are saying. And we got some predictions. This is from Zeno Hour, who believes that Wes Lee is gonna win the NXT North American Championship. We'll talk about that, because right now I just don't know. Let's see. Let's get into this, because we'll get into this whole NXT North American Championship picture. We had my favorites, guys, my absolute favorites, Andre Chase versus Von Wagner. And yes, this is sarcasm. Now, everybody who watches my NXT post shows knows that I'm not a fan of either Andre Chase or Von Wagner. Like, this was not a Denise match at all, okay? I'm gonna be real with everybody. When this match was announced, I thought, oh no, I'm gonna have to sit here and watch that. And then I forgot about it. Like, I forgot it was happening. And then they announced it on the show, and I was like, frick, this match is happening? And then I thought, no, this is literally like the worst thing I'm gonna sit through. I'm gonna sit through this horrible, horrible match, right? And so I'm sitting there just waiting to be like horrified by this. And while this wasn't like an OMG match or anything like that, this was not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. So I thought this was going to be like really bad. It was not terrible. It was fine. Andre Chase went out there. He got himself a little bit of offense during this match. They gave him a little bit of something. You know, he had his Chase University people going nuts for him. The CWC loves him. I know we have a lot of fans of Andre Chase here in the chat, and I know people get mad at me because I don't get the Andre Chase thing. But regardless, he had his little bit of a moment at the top of this match. But in the end, Von Wagner hits his big moves. He gets the win, and Von Wagner is now added into this five-way ladder match taking place at Halloween Havoc. So Von Wagner wins. That's fine. That was pretty much what was expected from this match. That's what was expected. But during this match, we did have Carmelo Hayes on commentary, and after this match, Wes Lee jumped Carmelo Hayes from behind, and then later on he has a promo backstage where he basically says that he is so focused on the ladder match, but at the same time he just wants to get his hands on Carmelo Hayes and this and that. All right, so in the ladder match we now have Von Wagner, Carmelo Hayes, Ora Menza, and Wes Lee that have qualified. The fifth person is either going to be Axiom or Nathan Frazier. It basically depends on who wins the best of three series that's happening. The last match is happening next week, and they are currently tied 1-1-1. So whoever wins that match is going to be added as the fifth participant in this ladder match. So let's just say, all right, let's just say right now with the people that we have, Von Wagner, Carmelo Hayes, Ora Menza, Wes Lee, and let's just say that Carmelo Hayes is not going to win the championship and somebody else is going to win. Based on what we have right now, Von Wagner, I think it would be a big mistake to have Von Wagner win, like a big mistake. Ora Menza, he's still so new. I don't feel like it's his time yet. Wes Lee, I could see it happening, guys. I could see it happening for Wes Lee, because this would finally give him something. Like, this would finally be like something for him on the show. Like, one of the major talking points that we've had like every single week is, what are they doing with Wes Lee? What's the plan for Wes Lee? Nothing seems to be sticking for Wes Lee. It's like it's the post-it paper that's just not sticking to the wall anymore. They haven't found a way to make anything stick. So I could see this being an opportunity for Wes Lee. But then again, who the hell knows? Like, I would kind of be a little bit irritated, though, if they gave the championship to Carmelo Hayes, because then I'm like, why did you take it off from him in the first place? So maybe in that sense, I do want to see a new champion just for the sake of me not having to be pissed off that they took the title away from him and gave it to Solo Sikoa for absolutely no reason. So there you go. And then, of course, if they add Nathan Frazier or Axiom, like if if Axiom gets in there, I'm not seeing it. If Nathan Frazier gets in there, I think there's also a good opportunity for Nathan Frazier to win. But we'll see, guys. We will see. We got a lot of people in this chat who is saying Wesley for the win. Like a lot of people on here saying Wesley for the win. Like that's the thing about Wesley. Like even though, like I said, nothing's been sticking for him on NXT. Like they haven't found a thing for him yet ever since the whole MSK controversy and everything that happened with MSK. It's like, regardless, people are still rooting for Wesley. Like you're still rooting for him because let's be real. Like the guy got screwed. He got screwed out of a situation that was completely out of his control, had nothing to do with him, and it impacted his career. And so that really sucks, obviously, for Wesley. So hopefully there's a good opportunity there for him. All right. So yeah, we got so many people in here literally just like putting in here that they hope Wesley wins. So here we go. All right. So now he is the people's choice, Wesley. All right. Moving on from here, let's get into Wendy Chu versus Lash Legend. This is another match that I thought was going to be really bad. It wasn't bad. It was just there. It was a match. Wendy Chu, obviously the big thing in this match was legitimately the size difference between Lash Legend and Wendy. You know, Lash Legend is just so freaking tall. And Wendy Chu is not short by any means. Like, I'm way shorter than Wendy Chu. But she looked way short next to Lash Legend just because Lash is just so much taller. So that was the big thing there. So Wendy Chu went in right in for the attack on Lash Legend. She was, like, getting her with a bunch of shots to her midsection, etc. But in the end, there was some good... Here's the thing. Lash Legend, for me, I haven't been a fan of yet on the show. Like, I haven't been a fan. I didn't like the pairing of Lash Legend and Pretty Deadly. I didn't hate the Lash Legend talk show, but I know a lot of people did not like that. I honestly didn't have a problem with it, but there were a lot of people that did not like that at all. So obviously, you know, with the majority of the people not liking it, it's going to get, you know, scrapped and whatnot. And so a lot of what they've been doing with Lash Legend has been a real miss. And then on top of that, the matches themselves haven't been that great. She hasn't had that, like, growth, you know, that very noticeable growth like Tiffany Stratton did, for example. Like, everybody, when you're talking about who's had growth on the roster, oh, everybody mentions Tiffany Stratton. Nobody's mentioned, you know, Lash Legend because she hasn't had that yet. However, I thought for the most part today, she went out there, she did her part in this, and it was very brief. It was fine. Honestly, it was fine. Wendy Chu ends up getting the win in this match, and I'm glad that they gave her the win because I feel like Wendy Chu, they keep keeping her at a certain level because obviously the character is a little bit, you know, it's a little quirky. It's a little hard for you to buy that, you know, Wendy Chu could be NXT Women's Champion, for example. That was the whole thing with Mandy Rose, where Mandy Rose was like, oh, you know, she's a child and, you know, she can't be NXT Champion and this and that. So that was like the whole thing that they did with her and Mandy Rose. So it's like, that perception, I think, of Wendy Chu is still there. I think it's still there. Like, Wendy Chu's character, it's funny and it's cute, but it also really kind of takes her away from seeing her as an NXT Women's Champion, except when she gets into the ring and she does, like, you know, what she does, and then you're like, holy shit, like, why isn't Wendy Chu, you know, up there for being, you know, why can't she be one of those girls that's holding the NXT Women's Championship? Like, she could be an NXT champion, right? Once you actually see her go in the ring, you're like, yes, this girl can be champion. And so I feel like for the most part, they still have been keeping her, like, down here. And I remember that Lights Out match that she did with Tiffany Stratton was pretty damn enjoyable. Like, I loved that match. I was a big fan of that match. And I don't really feel like they really did anything with Wendy following that. following that match, there should have been some sort of reward for Wendy Choo. There should have been something more, and there really wasn't anything there. She just went back to being Wendy Choo, and that was it. Like, there wasn't anything else to grab a hold of. So I'm glad that they gave Wendy Choo this win, because going into this, I thought, well, they've been pushing Lash Legend. They want to make Lash Legend into a thing. So I really thought that they were going to go with Lash Legend here, but they didn't. And I'm glad they didn't, because I do think Wendy Choo should be up there and should be getting them wins, you know? Don't let the character hold her back, you know? Make it work for her. And I think they could do that. We've seen a lot of examples of that. We've seen so many examples of that. All right. And let's go ahead and continue on from here. Let's see what we got. We got Kaden and Katana, who did a backstage little vignette. And this was kind of funny. For a second, I thought, oh, my God. Please do not tell me they're going to do a coexisting thing with Kaden and Katana. For a second, I thought they were going to break them up, because in the beginning, they're Kaden kind of insults Katana a little bit by telling her that she is a little too nice, right? And Katana's like, what? You know, like, what do you mean? And they kind of have like a little bit of like a tension moment, but that's quickly taken away. And it's like, oh, we're besties, you know, this and that. But for a split second, I thought, please do not tell me that all of a sudden our tag team champions are going to be on different pages. We cannot afford to have our tag team champions on a different page right now. There isn't very many options for women's tag teams on NXT right now. So anyways, that was quickly undone. And instead, it went to like a video package of, you know, both of their rides and some of the stuff that they were doing beforehand, before they got to NXT, and how they got to NXT, and, you know, what they've been doing ever since, and, you know, them being champions and this and that. So personally, it's interesting with Kaden and Katana, because they have done a lot of different stuff with them. They have tried out a lot of different things, and similar to Wesley, a lot of it hasn't stuck. They've been doing, like, they started doing, they were party girls. They were doing the whole Coachella type, I don't know if that's what you would call that character, what you would call that, but those girls that go out to those raves and concerts, and, oh, you'd see her at Coachella, or you'd see her at freaking all these other festivals. Apparently, I don't know any other festival other than Coachella, because I'm not a festival girl. There you go, a festival girl. That's what they were doing with them for a while. They were festival girls. And then they were, all of a sudden, they come out with the big shoulder pads, and, you know, they're cool and this and that. And so they've been trying a lot of different stuff. They were TikTok girls at one point. Do you remember that? They were TikTok girls. And so they've tried a lot of different things with them, and nothing has really, really felt true to them, you know? And it's like Toxic Attraction. Toxic Attraction. They went out there and they were these bad, hot girls, and they were just, you know, that's what they were, right? They were bougie, bad and bougie. And it worked. It instantly worked. It made sense. It connected. They haven't had anything like that with Kaden and Katana. The one thing that has kept them going and has kept them such a tag team that the people haven't turned on is the fact that they're actually a pretty good tag team together. They're a good team together. But I feel like they have this thing where, you know, they're a good tag team when they're in there and, you know, they're doing their thing and, you know, they have their fun moments and you mark out for them. And, you know, Katana, who's Casey, who's now Katana, you know, she goes out there and she does, you know, all of her flips and all of her stuff that she does. You're like, holy shit, they're so cool together. And, you know, Kaden's more of like the hard hitting one. So it works, right? It works in that sense. But then afterwards, you forget about them. You forget about them because the character isn't something that's been necessarily sticking. So you remember that they're good when they're in the ring, but afterwards you kind of forget. So what I'm trying to get at here with this whole promo that they did, I feel like they had to do it just to kind of remind you of like, hey, this is who they are. These are our champions. And this is why you should be a fan of theirs, because they haven't gotten, I think, the character down for Kaden and Katana just yet. So anyways, they address Nikita and Zoe Stark, which we'll talk about in just a hot second. But either way, that's what's going on with our NXT Women's Champion. Ed Jones says, I remember them going to music festivals. Yeah, they were doing that for a bit. I remember that too, man. I remember. After this, we had Toxic Attraction, GG and JC for a second. I'm like, wait, what am I talking about? Okay, we had GG and JC going up against Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons. And this was a number one contendership match to see who would go on to face freaking Kaden and Katana. All right, so here's the thing with this one, guys. Nikita and Zoe, to me, kind of feel like a very, very forced tag team. I don't even know why they're a tag team. I don't even remember what made them a tag team. Why are they a tag team? Now that I think about it, why are they a tag team? What did I miss? Clearly, I'm forgetting something or I missed something here. But it does feel very forced. Now, here's the problem. Zoe Stark, for the most, you know, Zoe and Nikita, they were doing their own thing. They were separate. They were doing their single stuff, this and that, right? Nikita was getting popular because, oh, you know, let's be real. They were flaunting a lot of her assets. And that was like the thing that they were pushing, right? Like that was the narrative that they were pushing for Nikita. And so that was really what they had there for Nikita. They were mainly just pushing her for her looks and this and that. And you were seeing it on the social media and all of that. And then on the opposite hand, you had Zoe Stark, who is like good in the ring, but she didn't really have a character that I think was connecting with people. And so when she was going after the championship, like I didn't really see a lot of people wanting to see Zoe Stark become champion. So it's like they both had something that the other person didn't necessarily have. So then they, now I guess they're a team, right? Okay, fine. But in this match, like Gigi and JC, they work very well together. They complement each other very well. You know, they've been a team for a very long time now. They held the championships for a long time now. The tag team championships previously, they held them for a long time, etc. They had their run. They've proven themselves as a tag team. Now, with Nikita and Zoe, it just doesn't make sense to have them, at least not to me. It doesn't make sense to have them as a tag team. When Zoe got in there, it was like, I don't know how to explain this, but the lights turned on in this match. That's the best way that I can say it. All of a sudden, there was a reason to pay attention to this match. Zoe went out there and hot damn, she was so freaking fired up, so freaking good. And you know, we've seen shades of this plenty of times before, right? But in this match, to me, I kind of feel like she's, you know, really trying to show people like, this is what I can bring to the goddamn table. And you saw that in this match. There were so many great moments, that dropkick that she did, that elbow that she did. She just like these simple things that she did with a lot of fire and a lot of intensity. And I was really, really impressed with Zoe, particularly in this match, because she just stood out from everybody else. She really, really stood out. And so that was something to me that I kind of felt was just too noticeable, that like Zoe is just on a different level, but they need to get the character down a little bit more with Zoe so that she connects with people a little bit more. Like people like Zoe and they like seeing her wrestle, but I do think she needs that, you know, extra thing to really get her, you know, onto that next level, right? So anyways, that's kind of my reading of this whole match there. And then there was a moment too where Nikita did her spinning heel kick, and I would have really liked to see a replay of that because I'm not even too super positive she actually got JC Jane with that. It kind of looked like JC, like she didn't actually get JC, but I need a replay of that because that was just like my first, you know, that was just like my first reading of that. But anyways, there you go. That was that match. Let's see what people are saying about this. This is from Christopher, who says, why are Zoe and Nikita even in the tag team when months ago they were being built at single stars? Then Zoe came back as a challenge. The titles and Nikita is there. What is happening? So that's kind of a little bit of what I kind of ran through right now, is that they were both doing their things in the singles division. Nikita did end up getting hurt, so she was out for a bit. And then Zoe went up for the title, but just nobody... It didn't seem like she was the popular it didn't seem like people were really clamoring to see her as champion. So I almost feel like they had her go up for the championship a little bit too fast. I think if they would have just simply reminded us, like, hey, this is what Zoe can do. This is who she is in the ring. Let's, because, you know, she was gone for a bit too. And then she finally came back as well. And they had her go for the championship too fast, I think. I think had they had her go out there and show people, like, yeah, this is what I can do in the ring, then I think people would have been a little bit more willing to see Zoe as champion. But during that time when she went up for the championship against Mandy Rose, she didn't seem like people were really wanting her to be the person to take the belt off of Mandy, especially now, given how long Mandy Rose has been champion. It has been a pretty long time. She's been the only women's champion aside from Raquel in that whole NXT 2.0 era. It was just Raquel and Mandy. So there you go. But we got Edna here, who also says she did really good. She did really good tonight, had a lot of energy. Completely agree. We got Venom, who says nothing about them makes sense right now. Yeah, like, they're just a team. So there you go. But either way, she did a great job, and that deserves to be acknowledged. All right, we got a backstage segment between Sangha and Nathan Frazier. But the thing that I want to talk about is that after Sangha and Nathan Frazier did their thing, Veer Mahan has come to NXT, and I don't know if this is a permanent thing because we haven't been seeing Veer Mahan on Raw anymore. I didn't watch Raw this Monday because I was traveling, but the last couple of weeks, he has not been on Monday Night Raw, okay? And I didn't see anything about him being on Raw this Monday unless I missed it. He has still not been on Raw for, like, the longest time. So now he appears on NXT. So I'm wondering if he just got sent back over to NXT or if he's going to be doing a dual thing where we've been seeing a lot of the main roster stars, you know, do a couple of, you know, do a program for a couple of weeks on NXT. I don't know if that's what they're going to do or if he's been permanently moved down to NXT. I do not know. But yes, Veer has come again. All right, so let's see what we got here. We got people saying, this is from Isaac, who reminds us that Veer hasn't been on TV since Triple H took over, and this is true, he has not. And let's see what else we got here. And Andrew points out that, were they tagging on the coconut loop? I don't know, were they tagging? I haven't kept up with the house show matches for NXT, so I'm assuming that they are still tagging. We'll see. All right. Actually, let me double check here really quickly. Let me go to this website really quickly and double check what the hell has Veer been doing? Cause I legitimately have not been seeing what Veer. Okay. So on the September 24th NXT Citrus Spring Show, Sangha and Veer Mahan did team up for that. And then prior to that, he had not been on Raw since August 15th when he defeated Bu Keller. And then after that, he was doing WWE live shows, okay, main event. And then prior to that was the original Raw run that we were seeing him on for a bit where he was defeating Dominic Mysterio a million times. And all of that was really the only noteworthy thing that we were getting with Veer Mahan. So there you go. So they did team up again. All right. So let's go ahead and move on from here. So it looks like they are definitely reuniting him with Sangha. That's cool. I don't hate it. I do not hate it, guys. I am not opposed to that whatsoever. We got a couple more items to get into, but before we move on, if you are a person who loves to chat NXT every week, if you're still keeping up with the product, come in here every Tuesdays. I am here to chat NXT. And then on top of that, I'm here tomorrow. And tomorrow's the 3rd year anniversary of AEW Dynamite. It's National Scissoring Day. They got a pretty cool lineup announced so far for the show. So make sure you guys come tomorrow, just like Veer, come tomorrow for AEW Dynamite. That's usually my most popular show of the week. So make sure to come in and hang out. We usually have a really good time. But now it is time for the Grayson Waller Effect, where he had guests Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. Roxanne Perez and Cora have legitimately had like my favorite feud of this new era for NXT. It's been very enjoyable. I don't care what anyone says. I have been a fan of this Roxanne Perez, Cora Jade, friendship turned enemies type of story. I freaking love it, okay? I have soaked in all of it, all right? I love Roxanne Perez going out there and being like the ultimate little sweetheart. And she, you know, she's so entertaining to watch in the ring. And I absolutely love how each and every single week, Cora Jade is coming into her own as a heel each and every single week. I've said this a million times, but heel Cora Jade is what I live for on NXT. I don't care. Amp it up, Cora. I love it. Anyway, so... This literally looks like Grayson Waller is like scolding his teenage daughters here, by the way. It's freaking hilarious. But instantly, Grayson Waller apologizes to Roxanne Perez for not having a booster seat for her. And immediately, I'm insulted because Roxanne and I are the same height. Anyway, so... They have a little bit of a back and forth here. Roxanne Perez basically says that she's going into this match with zero emotions whatsoever. Cora Jade mocks her. I love her mocking her. That was my favorite thing of this whole exchange. Roxanne basically reminds her what they were supposed to be and kind of just runs down a little bit of the history of their feud. Cora Jade has a pretty good shot at her where she tells Roxanne that Roxanne is all internet hype and has no talent. And obviously we know that Roxanne, being the former Roxy, went into WWE with a lot of hype online. And then Grayson Waller essentially announced that they're doing a pick your poison match. And then we also find out that they're doing a weapons wild match for Halloween Havoc. This ends up in a Cora Roxanne bra, and Grayson Waller is taken out of this picture by Apollo Crews. So when Grayson Waller is on the outside of the ring, Apollo Crews ends up grabbing his leg, dragging him under the ring, leaving his cell phone thrown out there. So that Instagram live must have been interesting. And then Grayson Waller comes out with the bloody eyes, which is what we've been seeing between him and Apollo Crews. I hate the bloody eyes. Can I just say, I hate the bloody eyes. I'm all for blood and violence and all of this. I love that stuff. But the bloody eyes get me. That's the one thing apparently I can't handle. And I just found out, because the bloody eyes really gross me out. That's really disgusting. It really creeps me out. So I actually find the bloody eyeballs more hard to see than a face full of blood. I can handle a face full of blood like it's nothing, but bloody eyeballs can't handle, apparently. That's where I draw the line. Bloody eyeballs, I draw the line there. Anyway, so this was fine. You know, obviously, just continue to further on Roxanne and Cora as they're pissed off and they're being pulled off by, they're being pulled apart by security. And then obviously Grayson and Apollo with the bloody eyes. Oh, man. All righty. We got Eddie who says Cora Jade versus Roxanne will be good and brutal. We got Fernando saying that he loves this segment. It was great and he can't wait for the match. Christopher points out that Cora Jade is one of his favorites. We got a lot of people really putting over Cora and Roxanne. That's definitely good. Sorry, guys. Stop sending me messages. Ah, sorry. I was getting a bunch of messages. Stop. All right. Someone says that they didn't get the, oh no, John Bain says Waller versus Cruz in an eye for an eye match. I'm not going to lie to you. If Vince McMahon was still in charge right now, I would be thinking this is the direction we're heading into. Like, legitimately. Something with the eyeballs has to go down, because that's been the whole gist of this story. But anyways, Ed Jones says, I don't get it. His eyes bleeding due to rage. I don't know. Maybe he's putting like poison in his eye. I have no idea. I don't know. How does one get bloody eyes? I don't have the answers. I'm sorry, everybody. I do not have the answers for that. All right. Moving on from this, we had Duke Hudson versus Julius Creed. This was a very, very, very fast match. Julius got the win fast. And honestly, I have absolutely zero issues with that. I thought that was exactly the way that it should have played out. And it is perfectly fine with me. After this led to a matchup that was made for Halloween Havoc. Because Damon Kemp comes up on the little platform that they have there, and he basically tells Julius that their match at Halloween Havoc is going to be an ambulance match. And get this, if Julius loses the match, Brutus will be gone from NXT. So I'm wondering, I really hope that this is not leading to a separation for the Creed brothers. I don't know if they're separating them. I have no idea. I hope that's not the way that they go. I don't want to see them separated. Even if that means one gets to go to the main roster and one doesn't, I don't want to see that. No, I want to still see the Creed brothers together. So I'm hoping that Julius just gets the win and I don't got to worry about Brutus having to be gone from NXT, mainly because I still want to see them together as a team together. That's just me being selfish, but I do think that Brutus may be, like we got Mike New York here saying, maybe having him move up. And I do think that may be the direction that they're heading in with this. But I don't want to see the Creed brothers break up just yet. I still think that they can do a lot of great stuff. If they're going to go to the main roster, I want to see them both on the main roster. Especially because we need tag teams, okay? It's not like we're overfilled with so many tag teams. We're on a shortage, man. So I want to keep the Creed brothers together. So we'll see what happens. What's going on with that? If they get called up, I want them to be together. That's all I'm saying with that. And we got people also putting over, Damon Kemp. Honestly, Damon Kemp has really been coming into his own. Like, obviously for the beginning portion of his time in NXT, he was just in the shadows of Roderick Strong, while Roderick Strong was driving all of us nuts with this storyline, and he was getting super whiny and nobody was liking Roderick Strong anymore. Damon Kemp was kind of just there, but Damon Kemp has come into his own. He's a pretty good promo. He's got his lines down. He doesn't mess them up. He delivers them great. He's doing a fine job. Honestly, he's doing a fine job. All right, and let's go ahead and continue on from here. And let's see, this is a prediction from Eddie, who says that he thinks Roderick Strong will cost Damon Kemp the match after he appears behind from the ambulance. That could be a possibility. And we still got more people thinking that the Creed brothers are going to get called up. YT says, I don't want to see the Creed brothers move up until we find out where the heck Robert Roode and Legado del Fantasma are. I'm not rushing it. Like, and we obviously know Legado del Fantasma's bound to pop up on the main roster soon, but I'm okay with them taking their time to get it just right. Like, let them have this moment where, like, here's the thing, like, obviously people are going to be excited when they see them go onto the main roster, especially the people that saw them on NXT, right? Like, people saw them in NXT are going to be excited to see them on the main roster, okay? And I feel like this time away, it's good. It's getting people to kind of forget a little bit, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And then when they come, you're like, yes, Legado del Fantasma. So I'm okay with this time apart from Legado, because we know that they're bound to be at, that they're bound. If next week, or let's just say in a month from now, if they magically show back up on NXT, I swear to God, I will lose my shit. But and that's not what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to see them on the main roster for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Christopher wants to ask, did you catch when commentary acknowledged the parking lot as a dangerous place? I did, actually. And everybody and their mothers knows that the parking lot, the NXT parking lot, is not the place to be. Hank Waller versus Zion Quinn was the next thing we saw. The story is here that Hank Waller got offered a full-time NXT contract by Shawn Michaels. Zion Quinn wins in this nothing match. Nothing match. Absolutely nothing. This is like the first win I recall him getting in a while. I think the last thing I even remember from Zion Quinn was him squashing Wesley. And then them doing that, oh, we're going to see Wesley, Zion Quinn. Oh, and then we're not going to see Wesley versus Zion Quinn. Oh, man, this was nothing, honestly. I was not impressed by anything here. And then afterwards, Quincy Elliott comes out and he's like, he scares off Zion Quinn. And I'm like, why is Zion Quinn afraid of Quincy Elliott? What did I miss? Why is Zion Quinn afraid? afraid of Quincy Elliott? Seriously, someone explain it to me. I do not know. Okay, so Quincy Elliott then goes and my favorite part of this whole thing was just him randomly spanking Hank Walker. He raises his hands up and then just spanks him on the butt. That was it. That was legitimately it. That's all I got. It was really funny, though. Honest to God, it was so random. He was just like, doop, spanks him on the peach. And Andrew Buckley says Hank didn't know about that butt slapping, though. It was super random, honestly. But it popped me. It popped me because I was like, what? Why? What's going on here? What do I need to know? Give me the information. I'm just trying to wonder why Zion Quinn was afraid of Elliot. Whatever. It's fine. Whatever. I don't even know why I'm upset. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Let's see. YT says, IDK why Zion would be afraid, but I know they've been having interactions. I don't even remember their interactions. I watch NXT every week, and I can't even remember. I don't even remember that. Oh, my God. Either way. Yeah, that was funny. Elliot just spanking Hank Walker. Whatever. All right, let's move on. Let's get into the last thing we have to talk about for today, and that is Joe Gacy and this whole thing with Cameron Grimes and the person in the red hood. So they have a guy in a red hood and a yellow mask handing out, I think he was handing out those little yellow buttons out on the parking lot. And then afterwards, like, he fails and Joe Gacy and the Dyad are like yelling at him and making him feel like shit and he's depressed, and we're only getting the backside of this. So we're just seeing them yell at him and he's like emo and he's looking down and I'm like, oh my God, this is Denise in high school. And then afterwards it ends up being like a plan. This whole entire time, it was a plan to fool Cameron Grimes, because Cameron Grimes goes up to this person and is like, oh, you don't have to do what they say. You don't have to listen to them, this and that. He tries to like befriend the guy and tries to like have him break away from what Joe Gacy and the Dyad want him to do. But then it ends up being a plan because they end up jumping the Dyad, and Joe Gacy end up jumping Cameron Grimes from behind. And so they end up attacking him there. And that was it. So who's the person in the red hood, guys? What do we think? What are the predictions? I have no predictions. I have no predictions. Predictions, but here I did think about Zeno Hour says, I'm pretty sure the masked person isn't a he. I thought for a second too that it may be a girl because it was the arms. I don't know, the arms look like girl arms. Now I'm gonna feel really bad if this is a guy and I just said he had girl arms. So I'm gonna feel really bad. But when they did the hug at the end, to me, it seems like girl arms, like girl elbows. I don't know. Apparently I know I should know what girl elbows look like. I don't know. The point is that I got the vibe that it's a girl, okay? You couldn't really tell too much because of the clothing, but a lot of people seem to think that it is possibly a girl. We got a lot of people saying they hope it's Isla Dawn. We got some people saying Sarai. We got some people saying, those are kind of the options that we got here, but I guess we'll find out. I mean, honestly, if they do a woman for this, this would be great. It would fit in perfectly with what they're doing. It'd be great. So we'll see what they're doing there with that. We'll find out soon. But that was NXT 2.0. And go study elbows, guys. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. Actually, you really can't. I don't know how I knew that. All right, I'm done. Thank you guys so much for coming into the show. As always, I seriously appreciate you guys coming in to chat NXT with me each and every single week. I will be back again tomorrow and on Friday for more wrestling conversations. Other than that, please do not forget to follow me on Twitter and or on Instagram at @DeniseSalcedo. YouTube.com/DeniseSalcedo. I'm so close to hitting 70K. The channel is blowing up right now. I'm very proud of that. Very happy because finally. So if you haven't subscribed, make sure you guys do so. I got lots of other stuff planned there for this week. I'm most likely going to be doing doing an Extreme Rules watch along. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't get to do watch alongs very often, so I'm thinking about doing one for Extreme Rules. I think it sounds like a good idea. But other than that, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you guys tomorrow night for AEW Dynamite. Bye, everyone.